News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. 8:07, Mobile Mornings. Tuesday morning, and you know what that means.
Yeah, it means Quinn Hillier is on the line. Quinn, who you can find his work at quinnhillier.com, also writes for The Advocate and NOLA.com, where in New Orleans they set a record low this morning, I believe, Quinn. So I'm sure that's all the, well, that's not all the talk in Louisiana. They caught in the northern part of the state quite a bit of that ice storm this week. So South dealing with some ice, and Louisiana included. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, thanks. I guess somehow New Orleans is even colder than here. That doesn't usually happen very often.
Yeah. They might not be colder, but they set their own record. I think we're probably right around the same temp. But pretty wild winter weather here leading into the Senior Bowl this week. But I was telling Dan, ice is the lead story in multiple ways over the weekend and into this week. Got the ice storm, but of course in Minnesota, things going a little haywire, and that was the massive story this weekend. You wanted to have a conversation about that this morning and the ice operations in Minnesota. Let's have that conversation. What are your overall thoughts?
Okay, let's, for now, set aside whatever your interpretation is of the two horrible deaths. Of Renee Good and Alex Pretty. Other than to say, obviously, with the killing of Renee Good, we were already at a very, very hot point, and there had been videos all across the country, not just in Minneapolis, of quite violent confrontations between agents and citizens, and clearly sometimes agents acting in the wrong, pepper spraying people who were literally not doing anything other than just standing there. So in the immediate aftermath of Renee Good's killing, I wrote a column, very sort of tried to be very sober and trying not to be histrionic. And I said there were about 7 points or points and pieces of advice that should be followed, because otherwise we were going to have other tragedies like we now have had with Alex Pretty. First of all, I said there should be a temporary suspension of the quite literally extraordinary ICE deployments. I speak as somebody long-standing anti-illegal immigrant, long-standing supporter of the police. I've donated to police defense funds, specifically to defend police in court from unfair charges. But that doesn't mean that every time is right for every use of force. And when the streets are this going this crazy, you can enforce the law without this major histrionic show of force. So have ICE take a little lower profile, still go about their business, but stop, do a pause for review of the tactics and the training. That's item number one. While you still go about, you know, you enforce the border and all the rest, but all the extraordinary stuff that you're doing in the internal of the country, just a 2-3 week pause. Number two, and I'll make this a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Review the training seriously, because it is an absolute fact in writing. They lowered the standards for when they more than doubled the number of ICE agents. I think it was from 10,000 to 22,000 virtually overnight. A, they lowered the standards for those they hired, and B, they cut the training down from either 6 months or in some cases 13 weeks all the way down to 47 days. These people are obviously not trained well in how to de-escalate. This is not judging the ICE agents if they're not trained well, and if it usually takes 6 months, you can't train them in 6 weeks.
They're not like 30-year veterans of a police force who've kind of your point, yeah.
Exactly. So, number three, remind every single agent in the country that videoing their work in public is 100%, not just legal, constitutionally protected. And so if that is the only thing that's bothering them, they need to let it go. If somebody gets in their way, they can do something about it. If they are literally physically imposing themselves. But if all they're doing is waving around a video camera, they need to let them do that because that is a constitutionally protected right. The fourth thing is a return to full probable cause warrants for nonviolent illegals rather than just these broad sweeps that literally do traffic stops of people that they have no idea whether they're illegal or anything like that. Probable cause warrants, that's ordinary law enforcement. All of those things that I said can and should be done. They should be pretty easy to do. They would lower the temperature. Every one of them is basic, ordinary law enforcement tactics. And you can support law enforcement. You can support the mission of ICE and the Border Patrol, but without having, you know, and I'm not taking any blame off of any protesters that get violent or that literally physically obstruct people or whatever. So I'm not saying this is all on ICE, but I am saying that as a matter of public policy, if you just go back to ordinary police tactics, you can make the situation a lot better.
Sorry
for the big long filibuster.
That's great laying that out. I think, you know, first off, you know, with it being a sanctuary city, sanctuary state, I guess in many ways, not having local help, not having state help there to, you know, cordon off operations and de-escalate, that's something that's certainly not helping the situation. And that's been, of course, talked about plenty. But I was telling Dan this morning, and of course, we've been talking about it nonstop, on air, off air, and we kind of like our sports analogies. You know, there's a massive coordination among a lot of the folks up in Minnesota, including, they're saying, some public officials, in order to, you know, have people out there and kind of stalking these Border Patrol and ICE vehicles as they make their way around so they can get people there to, quote unquote, protest, or what's the document, you know, they say all the time. To me, it's almost like they're trying to draw a charge in basketball, right? That they have these rape whistles they're blowing, and they're screaming, they're ramming these vehicles, and it has to be entirely chaotic for, like you said, some officers who haven't been in the game very long. And, I mean, I agree with the right to document using phones, like many of these people are doing, but what if they're like, you know, they're walking right in the middle of an operation where not all the time, but often they're out there trying to get some of the violent illegal criminal aliens out of there. And what do you make of that when they're like right in their space there with the camera in their face?
They have, again, if you physically interfere, that's a completely different thing. They have every right to be 8 feet away, 5 feet away with their camera, as long as they are not impeding the motion. Now, you know, I have actually not seen many instances of ramming of vehicles, et cetera, but any of that is absolutely, absolutely unacceptable. Everybody talks about sanctuary cities. I've written against sanctuary cities a number of times. It's a terrible practice. But there's a difference between being a sanctuary city for ordinary illegals, which I totally oppose, and saying that the local police won't help apprehend actual criminals. The one point that I put in that column that I didn't say in that opening monologue was that every single local police force in the country wants to get the bad guys. If ICE went in and said, we're going to help track down and identify the bad guys, and we want you with us, so once we identify where they are, you can go in and make the arrest. Then I guarantee you, even in every police force in the country would be helping. And then ICE can, you know, when it wants to go beyond the really bad guys and get the ordinary illegals, you know, that's up to ICE, and the city should not be providing sanctuary. But for a lot of these arrests, there's no need for ICE to do them when ICE literally is not trained for that sort of thing, where the police are. And again, even a sanctuary city wants to arrest the bad guys, so enlist their aid in doing that.
I think a point that has been lost on certainly legacy media is this chaotic atmosphere that's been created up there by hyper-organized anti-American. You know, they're there. They're anti-American no matter what the issue is. So right now the issue is this. They're funded from overseas. They're not locals necessarily. You know, you have these locals who turned out to be kind of pawns in all of this, it would appear to me, and Dalton have talked about this. It's there. I mean, we have to account for that atmosphere as well, Quinn, when we talk about this situation, this atmosphere that's not only been allowed by some of the, you know, elected officials, but maybe they're also
fomented by them.
Yeah.
And so, ramping it up.
I mean, address that if you would.
Okay. First of all, most of, even if they're organized, you know, that's what people do all the time. It depends on what you mean by organized. But
I mean, it's an organization. It's been done in a way. It's underneath the radar, certainly, of a lot of news coverage. But these are just not Sal from down the street happened to be walking by, and he's not a fan of ICE. Wow. And now he's dead. That's not what's happening.
Well, yeah, but everybody has the right, as long as they're following the law, to go do things like videotape and to peacefully protest, peacefully, even if they're organized. But a lot of these people, a lot of the ones in Minnesota right now, are usually ordinary citizens. It's not like they spend all their time going to some sort of radical training, but they're upset because they have seen scenes again and again from across the country. I literally have dozens and dozens of videos saved of ICE acting out, shooting priests from rooftops with pepper balls, going to girls that are standing there, one ICE agent talking to a girl who is not in any way threatening. She's got her hands behind her back, and they're talking, and another one suddenly comes up from behind the first one and at the space of 3 inches sprays her with pepper spray. When people are seeing this and they're reacting to that, mm-hmm. and then the ICE agents are reacting when the protesters overreact, the whole thing should be, okay, let's get some peace on our streets, de-escalate. If there are this many ordinary illegals out there, go find them somewhere else. Come back later when the temperature is down. There's nothing that says 3 weeks from now or 4 weeks from now you're not going to be able to round up the ordinary illegals that you can't do right now. It's common sense, and it's for the greater public good.
And you know, we'll go to break soon. I do want to mention, you know, something you said there, and I think this is a great discussion we're having, by the way. But you said, you know, if ICE kind of stepped back and the administration, I guess, made it clear, hey, we just want the really bad guys here, do you feel that even in a sanctuary city, the local PD or state PD would be glad to help? I feel like that's wish casting. I don't think that is in any way what Minneapolis or a lot of these far left cities want to do. We see that because even before ICE entered the picture, they're letting a lot of these violent criminals back out on the street just for no reason at all. I think that's wish casting to say that if Trump just lowered the temperature and said, hey, Minneapolis, hey, come on, help us out a little bit here. We just want the violent guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's happening in any way.
I respectfully disagree with you. The Minneapolis police, have you seen the Minneapolis police chief talking? He has not sounded in any way radical. He's very matter of fact.
But he has to be directed by the mayor, who is incredibly radical, to act on that.
But the people of Minneapolis, look, I've got friends in Minneapolis. They are not supportive of letting violent criminals out on the street. They're just not. They want to get the really bad guys out. And if Trump said, we are going in, we want to partner with you, we don't like your sanctuary city stuff, we'll deal with that later, let's build a partnership first for the bad guys, I guarantee you the local police would help.
There was a phone call yesterday between Walz and Trump. Trump said it was a good conversation. There seems to be recalibration with all of this going on.
That's
right
what
now.
Happened 2 months ago.
Beginning today, there's a recalibration going on with some of the leadership homing in and the others out.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap it up with Quinn right here on Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com on the line with us this morning.
Muscadine Bloodline bringing us in.
Yep.
Their show Friday night, Mardi Gras Park. Quinn, continue our conversation here with Quinn Hillier. And you wrote an article here recently about a Louisiana Senator, Bill Cassidy, going after the National Education Association or Union. What'd you write about there, Quinn?
Okay, so one reason that our education performance nationwide has been so bad is that the two biggest national teachers' unions, and not just teachers, education workers' unions, are so much more interested in radical leftist politics and power plays than they are in anything that goes on in the classroom. And they have gotten so taken over by the left, they've also been taken over by the leftist anti-Semites out there. And Senator Cassidy of Louisiana sent a very direct letter to the head of the NEA with 31 very specific questions, each with several sub-questions, about their practices. The NEA at their national convention passed several resolutions that were just flat out anti-Semitic. They've also been giving money to groups that in turn give money to pro-Palestinian terrorist groups. They link on their website approvingly to this indigenous peoples thing that puts a map, and on the map where Israel is supposed to be, it says Palestine. All sorts of mistreatment of Jewish delegates at the National Convention. I could go on and on and on. Cassidy is chairman of the Health, Education, and Labor Committee, and so this gives him jurisdiction. The National Education Association is literally chartered by Congress. So Cassidy is saying, you have to explain all your anti-Semitic activity, and while you're at it, why are you also doing all of this other left-wing stuff? And it's all in my column, and if you followed the links to his letter, he is calling them on the carpet for focusing on left-wing power politics and anti-Semitic stuff rather than on doing better for the teachers or better for the students. And I say more power to them.
We only have a minute left, but I got a question for you. You know, these unions, they're supposed to be working in service of the people they represent. And some of these massive national unions seem to be all about politics. Why do the people that pay those dues put up with it?
Well, a lot of them, the dues are either mandatory or quasi-mandatory. They're pretty much, they have a technical right not to join the union, and the union's supposed to tell them that, and the union's supposed to say that you have a right to not have the portion of your dues used for politics, but they don't tell them that, and so a lot of the teachers don't even know.
When can folks find your stuff?
QuinnHillier.com or just Google Quinn Hillier and The Advocate, and that's the Louisiana newspapers.
Thank you, Quinn.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, Quinn. Have a good week. And stay warm. Quinn Hillier and more Mobile Mornings on the way. A lot of text to get to.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is interesting that Minneapolis police, who are not assisting ICE in any way that I can see right now, almost the opposite, but they did make arrests last night outside what was reportedly Bovino's Hotel because the peaceful protests... Okay.
Mm-hmm. Air You're quotes. Doing air quotes, yeah. For those who aren't me and can't see Dan.
The peaceful protest turned violent outside of the hotel, and they had to enforce, and they had to bring on police action against some of the protesters, getting a little dose of the medicine that they've kind of been part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and last night with Trump talking to both the governor, Walz, and the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, it certainly seems like there's some, on its surface, some de-escalation going on. Mm-hmm. And then you get the spin from both sides after the call, just like when any heads of state have a call, and it worked out perfectly for both sides. That's how it always is.
Yeah.
And so both sides, said what their people wanted to hear, but it does sound like there's some cooperation that will finally be going on between some of the local police and the feds. And we'll see, if that's just talk, and it very well could be. But like you said, that's a start, stopping the people who are breaking the windows into these hotels where they believe agents are staying or where agents definitely are staying. And then on Trump's side of the de-escalation thing, I really do think, and we were kind of talking about this yesterday, I think he likes that a lot in his administration are so quick to support the federal officers, but I don't think he appreciated the way that Bovino and Noem went about it this weekend, mm-hmm. That it was a little too inflammatory after a very inflammatory weekend with the shooting on Saturday. And so he moves Homan in, who Noem is no fan of, and Bovino out. And there were reports that the Border Patrol chief may just retire, that retirement's in the cards. I haven't checked again this morning to see how accurate that is. And I'm also seeing a story that Noem, who's been elbowed out of the picture kind of here momentarily, has requested a two-hour meeting with Trump at the White House. So we'll see how that goes. But the Trump from the start said he wanted cooperation. And from the start, Walz said, no, you're not getting it. And Frey said, you're not getting it. This is a sanctuary city.
Yeah.
And there's, a lot of theories on why and who cracked first, whether it was Trump wanting to de-escalate because these headlines are so bad politically, it appears, or whether Walz has Walz closing in on him with some of these fraud investigations. And, I want to get some of these texts, but then I want to talk some about this Signal chat. And there's been a lot of reporting on that. Fox News, but a lot of work being done on X with some of the reporters or citizen journalists, I should say, digging in, using technology to place themselves inside of these Signal chats that are going on in Minnesota.
We'll get to that real quick, though. Just a quick aside back to the Trump and Walz. Do you think there was any conversation that Trump used with Walz where Trump was talking about the investigation against him and turning down some of the heat?
Yeah, well, Trump likes to use the leverage he has.
Right.
And
so I wonder,
too, and I guess there's no official...
When he said it was a good call, I'm thinking, how could those two have a conversation that any kind of good came from any of it?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall listening to that phone call?
Yeah, could have been. There could have been something in there where, in what constitutes a good call in the mind of Donald Trump? It means he won, mm-hmm. or he got what he wanted.
Yeah.
For it to be considered a good call... Maybe, everybody was playing nice, but at the same time, did he put a little squeeze on him to play nice?
But I do think Trump realizes, and, they keep putting polls out there. Most Americans, despite what many say, do want all illegal aliens removed from the country. The problem that a lot of folks are having, and even a lot of conservatives at this point, is they can't stomach the images and the video that are coming out of Minnesota, and it's really tough to do so. When you see someone shot 10 times in the street, that's a tough thing to get out of your head, especially if you were of the mind that it was a totally wrong action by those officers. And, you know, there's going to be an investigation, and it sounds like they're putting a lot of different investigators onto this. And I believe Wall said that even the state investigators will be part of it. So
yeah, I think
we'll
see
where that goes.
Three or four different investigations of the same incident.
So. Let's go to the text line. Derek says, temper tantrum. Maybe elaborate a little bit there, Derek. Captain Doug, let's see, says, your wish casting statement is 100% correct. I can bet $1,000 the Trump administration asked first only to be rebuked by the government of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota. Trump isn't going to go in without covering the basics of the law first. Minneapolis, another texter here, Minneapolis left part of the acronym of police out of their equation. Law and order, you can choose which word you drop. Drop law or drop order. It seems they may have dropped both. Mugshot says, and he's going after Quinn here. He says, but, he's a swamp creature. Cops can't do anything without the okay from the mayor. Getting tired of his rhetoric. Let's see here. Damn Yankee says, what happened in Minnesota can be attributed to the fog of war because this is a civil war. This civil war caused by Biden. And there may be more to that, like I said, with this signal chat that they've been using up there. I want to get into that here in a little bit. And a lot of military men and women online saying, you know, the way that a lot of the resistance, I guess, as it were, in Minnesota, a lot of these lefty radicals, which include many elected officials, are going about this, the way they're organized, the way they are trying to draw certain responses out of the federal officials in the state is very similar to a lot of, you know, warfare tactics they've seen in the past. So we'll get into some of that
like
here in a minute.
Things we may have done in other nations to upend them, upend their society. They're playing from a playbook similar to that, but it is pretty startling that, you know, what you may not completely understand about what's going on up there. When I say you may not completely understand it, I would be talking more to the middle or to the left in our audience that might not have a clear appreciation of what the ICE patrols, regardless of their amount of training, are dealing with up there. The scheduled and the intentional chaos in those streets, creating those situations almost impossible to work in.
Like I said this morning, and, you know, I use the sports analogies all the time, but it really seems to me like, first off, many of these protesters, like the like Preddy, are expendable to those who are kind of pulling the levers on a lot of this.
They're looking at a much bigger picture.
They are, yeah, and they, I think, maybe say the right things in public, but are happy that they gained another martyr that is going to help shift the calculus of the Trump administration and really kind of escalate things to the point where, well, you see Trump kind of drawing down, it appears. I don't know if that's necessarily the case with Homan going in, but he's saying things that make it appear like they're going to de-escalate up there. Mike says, Quinn, you criticize ISIS training, but you don't say a damn thing about the local police and authorities sitting on their hands. He says, get the locals doing their job.
Also, when Quinn said that, one thing that struck me was both officers involved in those shootings are veterans. They're not freeze-dried, microwaved ICE officers. I'm sure a good percentage of them are that, you know, recently trained and all, because the numbers are so immense up there. But those who actually pulled the trigger in both events were not.
So this signal chat thing, and there's been more and more noise being made about that over the last week, I guess, to the point where even, you know, Fox News put out a pretty big report yesterday. And there's also been quite a few folks on Twitter, and I'm trying to find this one dude's name who's done a majority of the work. I have it listed somewhere here in my little report.
I don't have the byline name here.
So you had there's these Signal group chats, and they say up to like 1,000 people. And it's Signal, by the way, is, and it's been talked about in the past with Secretary of Defense.
Walsh lost his job.
Mike Waltz lost
his job and then moved over to the UN because of that. That was pretty early in the administration, too. That was unforced error.
Yeah. And so Signal is this encrypted messaging platform. And in Minnesota, and I believe other places as well, but Minnesota is the big Megillah here right now, they have these chats, and they have activists in there. They have quote-unquote volunteers and even local residents, and they have people that have certain jobs and even are working certain shifts. They have spotters. They have folks driving around. They have dispatchers like law enforcement or medical emergencies to let folks know when and where to go and how quickly to get there.
The dispatchers were dispatching people to the scene before the shooting ever happened because the spotters or whoever were recognizing this is about to become a powder keg or could.
Mm-hmm.
So the dispatchers made sure people got there ahead of time, and they brought a full, throated response to it after the shooting to make sure that things were as chaotic. It's very organized.
Mm-hmm.
Things could be as chaotic as they could possibly appear.
And so you have these whistles, which are incredibly, I would imagine, kind of knock your head silly. You mm-hmm. listen to it enough, almost like torture
yeah.
while you're trying to get out there and in many cases are in incredibly dangerous situations just with the operation alone where you're going in to arrest someone who could be a violent illegal,
yeah.
right? Or just a violent person in general, not with these ICE operations. But you're already going into a dangerous situation. Now you have people who may already be on the scene or are headed to the scene, blowing whistles, screaming, calling you terrible words. Maybe they even know a little bit about, where you came from or whatever.
Got a little file on you.
So you have that extra element of danger. They say the chats facilitate real-time sharing of agent sightings, vehicle license plates,
mm-hmm.
locations, and calls for rapid responders to mobilize at scenes. They're often there to observe, which is the word. They're just observing. Okay. And film, warn potential targets, or interfere with operations like we've seen so often here. And they'll get rid of these chats day in and day out. So it's already an encrypted messaging platform. And then when they delete the chat every day, a lot of that evidence goes out the door,
yeah,
and they don't have to worry about being caught in on that unless some folks get inside of the chat to report on it, we're seeing more and more of here.
That's why what happened over the weekend with the chat was so important,
mm-hmm.
that they were able to document it.
So volunteers conduct ICE patrols by driving certain areas around Minneapolis using mounted phones to feed information into the chats, which can grow to hundreds or even I saw up to 1,000 members. They'll use tools and license plate databases to help track federal vehicles, rentals, and hotels, which we know of because, the hotels, they've been, I don't know how many they've gotten at this point, but they figure out where these agents are staying and then terrorize the place and break the glasses and threaten the owners of the hotels. They said the system has been linked to rapid mobilizations at incident sites, including the fatal shootings of Alex Pretty this past mm-hmm. weekend and Renee Good earlier in the month, where protesters were already on scene tracking agents before the violence erupted. Cash Patel, the FBI director, did announce an investigation into the chats for potential violations of federal law, including obstruction of justice or interference with officers. Now, this is the person I was talking about on Twitter, on X, independent journalist Cam Higby, infiltrated some groups and shared details with media outlets, revealing coordinated efforts to impede, assault, and obstruct agents. Organizations like COPAL, C-O-P-A-L, which Spanish acronym there, Comunidades Organizado El Poder y la Acción Latina. And then Unidos MN, like Minnesota, have trained tens of thousands in, quote, constitutional observer roles and integrate them into the networks. Their immigrant defense program, funded in part by federal earmarks for this COPAL, federal earmarks from figures like Representative Ilhan Omar and Senator Amy Klobuchar, support these rapid response teams. Now, some of the elected officials whose names have been kind of wrapped up in this, and there's a theory that the Minnesota lieutenant governor, and it hasn't been confirmed, but Peggy Flanagan is the lieutenant governor's name. And there's a username in these chats that goes by Flan Southside. Her office has denied the claims that that's hers, but a lot of folks have linked her to that. And then you have some others like this Amanda Kohler, who is a Democratic strategist who worked on Governor Tim Walz's campaigns and identified as an admin on the Minnesota Ice Watch Signal chat. You have several others, including State Representative Alex Falconer from Minnesota, operates semi-private networks dispatching activists to ICE sites and has publicly discussed his ICE watching network. And Attorney General Keith Ellison. Now, while he hasn't been directly in the chats, they said his office has promoted events linked to those groups. And, of course, he's been heavily involved in this discussion all the way through. So it's incredibly organized. And like I said, with Quinn kind of wish-casting there and saying, you know, if you just ask nicely,
just
I think a lot
nice.
Of these law enforcement offices would be happy to go out and get the dangerous illegals. I don't think a lot of people realize how radical, first off, some of these other cities and states and their elected officials are, and maybe even more dangerously, how organized they are.
Yeah, it's frightening.
To ramp up potential violence. And like I said, you know, bring violence onto themselves in many instances because it is such a bad look for the Trump administration. So then the question is, how do you react if you're the Trump administration? And right now it seems like he's pulling back a little bit.
Yeah. So if you've seen the No Kings rallies, say in Mobile on the news, or if you've attended them, if you've seen them, you're looking at people who've got a certain ideology, but for the most part, they're not threatening people. They're just mad about some things. And
I think they come by it honestly, a lot of them.
They may come by it more honestly. What I'm reading in this report is that's what we need to understand. This is not that. This is not organically grown locals who are upset and come out of their house and walk a couple of blocks and let it be known that they're not happy with the deportation efforts of ICE. This is not that. It's much deeper. It's much more highly funded. And it's much more, I guess you could almost say, sinister in a way. These are anti-American activists across the board. They don't want good things in this country. They don't want this country to feel good about itself. They're playing a big role in all of this.
Or their vision for what a good America would be is radically different than what a lot of Americans think.
Yeah. You need to understand that when you look at it through any lens. 8:51, Dan and Dalton in Mobile Morning.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Owig.
8:55, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And it's a cold one. Going to be cold the rest of the week. Really cold over the weekend. And when it's this cold, you kind of have all these projects you got to do, work. And you go, I think I might outsource that, maybe for this week only. And that's what great companies around here like 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile are for. They, cold weather, 120-degree weather, doesn't matter. You get them on the line, they'll come out there and remove that junk for you. And this is as good as week as any to get them on the line because they do such fantastic work. Trey Bennett has put together quite the crew over the many years that they've been working the Gulf Coast here for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Really easy to set your appointment up if you have a... And Sean talks about it all the time. It's not just, you know, if you have a pile of things you've acquired over the years that you're ready to get rid of, but even some of these really big items, you know, like trampolines. And the list goes on and on. They'll take care of that junk for you. It's really easy to schedule your appointment. You can go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or you can give them a call. I mean, the number is the name, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll call or text 15 to 30 minutes before they show up at your home. So you can put the dogs away or whatever you need to do, maybe brush your hair, and then get to free estimate. They'll look at your items and give you a price. No obligation. You can say no at any time. And then after that, that's the fun part. You point and watch your junk disappear with well over 300 five-star Google reviews online. A lot of locals have used them and love their work and say, I would use them again. So join the list. Get them on your property, business, home. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Real quick, Google, if you would, or just check out any stories talking about recent data and reports about what goes on in Texas and the success in deportations that they have right down there. A state on the border. They are coordinated with local authorities. They are welcomed by local authorities. And you don't see the incidents, so there's nothing to report. It's just arrests and deportations, and that's got everything to do with the infrastructure of who's already there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are incidents in Texas where local law enforcement is kind of filling in for ICE, doing their job.
Yeah.
So that's how committed they are to trying to do the job, whereas in Minnesota, it's a complete flip.
Well, it's like that in most. And Texas is very notable because there's so many. But it's like that in most red states, that kind of cooperation going on. And Squirrel Vereen, so he texted in. He said, He said, those people post their ice watch openly on the Mobile Reddit page. And yeah, I've seen that too. And I think a lot of these cities that are out and open about it, but those are like minor league players compared to what you're dealing with in a city like Minneapolis.
Agree,
or some of these out in California.
Yeah.
King of All Unnamed Texture says, it's not a fight against ice as much as it is a fight against that one comment on social media that got their goat riled up, he says. And that's a thing too. The media manipulation, and of course the national media is really good at it, but a lot of these videos, and we've talked about it for years, it seems now, even if it's, you know, a 2-3-4 minute video, you're still lacking a lot of context.
You definitely are.
And your own personal biases can get in the way. That's not to say that every video out there is a lie, but it is saying you need to kind of take a beat and think about it and think about what else may have been going on. Jeff Porcho on the way. He has in hour number one, Blount County District Attorney Pamela Casey. Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune in hour two. And then in hour three, Lieutenant Governor candidate John Wall. And from the ALGOP, Jeannie Beniston. That's all on the way on the Jeff Porcho. Following us and Midday Mobile at noon.